Good morning, everyone. Oh, come on. We could do better than that. Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all. If you're a grown-up, it might be good to have a Bible open in front of you. The page numbers are on the screen. We're going to start at page 50. If you're slightly smaller, then don't worry, because we're going to follow it along on the screen together. And we're going to read from the book of Genesis. Now, if you've been here in the last few weeks, in the children's talks and some of the all-age services, we've been doing the story of Joseph, and we're going to pick up where we left off last week. Now, if you remember, Joseph's brothers had come to Egypt to get some food, and Joseph was the one giving them some food, but they don't realize who he is. They've forgotten what Joseph looks like, and they don't realize that Joseph is the one giving them the food until this part which we get to now. So, are you looking at the screen? Boys and girls looking at the screen? And everyone else, follow along in your Bibles. Genesis 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence!" So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, Lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt." Now, we're going to skip forward a few years, and now Joseph's dad, who's called Jacob, has just died. He's just died in Egypt. I'll tell you the story later, but that's what's just happened, and then we pick up on what's on the screen. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrong things we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years and saw the third generation of Ephraim's children. Also, the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were placed at birth on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath and said, "God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place." So Joseph died at the age of 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Okay, now, boys and girls, I'm going to need to use your arms today, so I need you to warm up your arms, okay? Can you stretch your arms high up into the air? Show everyone your sweaty armpits on a nice day like today. Up in the balcony as well. All the kids up in the balcony need to do it. That's good. Now wiggle your fingers around. Wiggle your fingers around. Can't see many wiggles. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. You need to warm up your shoulders as well. So can you do some nice rolling of your shoulders? That's good. Okay, hopefully your arms are nice and warmed up. In a moment, I'm going to need to use them. But for now, keep your arms nice and still. Make sure your eyes are facing this way. And I've got a question for you. The question is, can anyone tell me who this is? Can anyone tell me who this is? Who can tell me who this is? Yes. Who's this? Shout it out loud. It's Fireman Sam. You're absolutely right. This is Fireman Sam, the new version of Fireman Sam. Some of you may recognize him. I'm going to put Fireman Sam up here. Now, who can tell me who's with Fireman Sam in this picture? Who's with Fireman Sam? Clara, go on then. You forgot? Bernie? It is Norman. You're right. Norman, okay? Now, Norman is one of the characters in Fireman Sam, and he's always getting in trouble, isn't he? He's always stuck up a tree or stuck down a well. In fact, most of the people who live in Pontypandy seem to get in all sorts of trouble all of the time. Now, when Norman gets in trouble, what does Norman need to do? What does Norman do when he gets in trouble? He lives in the same town as Fireman Sam. What does someone need to do for Norman? Any ideas? Yeah? Absolutely right. He needs someone to save him. And so maybe if someone had a phone, what number would they phone? What number would they phone if they wanted to get the fire engine? Yes? They would phone 999, okay? And then the call goes through to the station, and station officer Steele, he presses the big red button, and the bell goes off, the alarm goes off, it goes ring. No, it doesn't. That's more like a telephone ring. Anyway, the alarm goes off, okay? And Fireman Sam gets his clothes on, and he slides down the pole, and he goes to rescue Norman or whoever it is who's stuck. Fireman Sam is sent to save. Fireman Sam is sent to save. Now, I hate to disappoint you, but Fireman Sam is a made-up story. It doesn't actually exist. Angela knows. That's good. I'm glad I didn't ruin your childhood. Fireman Sam is a made-up story, but there is a story I want to tell you which is not made up at all. It's completely true. And what I want us to learn together this morning is one big thing. The one big thing that I want us to learn together is that God sends to save. Can you say that with me? God sends to save. And this is so important that we're going to do some action. So here's where I need your arms, okay? Are they still feeling nice and loose and warm? Okay, so when we say sends, we're going to point as if you're sending someone over there, okay? So sends. Can we try that? One, two, three. Sends. And when I say save, we're going to do like a little life jacket, okay? A life jacket like this, because a life jacket saves you, all right? So let's do that all together. God sends to save. God sends to save. That's the big thing that we're learning from the story of Joseph this morning. Now, can you wind your minds back for me? Can you wind your minds back? Maybe go like this. Wind your minds back to the beginning of the year when we started to learn the story of Joseph. And we had an all-age talk like this at the front. And the big thing that we learned that day was that God is working for the good of his family. All the way through the story, we see that God is working for the good of his family. And that's the big thing that we learned. So we read a verse just now, which we thought about that day. It's a verse at the end of the book of Genesis, the end of the story of Joseph. And Joseph, he says to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God meant it for good." So you meant to do something bad to me, but God meant to do something good. That's the big thing we learned. God is working for the good of his family. But the question is, how? I like saying the word how. I think it's a funny word to say. So can you say it with me? The word how, okay? One, two, three. How? It just sounds funny. How is God working for the good of his family? And here's the answer. It's on the board. It's the big thing that we're learning. So can you do the actions with me? God sends to save. This is how God is working for the good of his family. He sends to save. Joseph was sent so that he could save the people of God. And that's the big thing we're going to learn this morning. But to understand that, we actually need to see the bigger picture. So can you do this with your eyes? Can you open your eyes nice and wide? Because we need to see a big picture. The story of Joseph is part of a much bigger story. Joseph had a dad. Does anyone remember what Joseph's dad is called? Anyone remember? Yes, Joseph. Joseph's dad was called Jacob. I've got a picture of Jacob here. Jacob was Joseph's dad. He might have had a beard. He might have had some hair. He might not have done. But this is Jacob, okay? And God came to Jacob and he gave him two big promises. Two big promises. The first promise was a promise about his people, God's people. The second promise was a promise about his place, God's place. God came to Jacob and he said, you're going to have a big old family and you're going to have a big old home. There's going to be loads and loads and loads of people in your family, and I'm going to give you a really nice place for your family to live. And do you know what? God said to Jacob, your family is my family. Your people are my people. And the place that I'm going to give you is my place. It was an amazing promise. And as you read the last few chapters of Genesis, so if you read chapter 45, you can do this when you get home if you want, chapter 45, chapter 46, chapter 47, chapter 48, chapter 49, chapter 50, chapter... There isn't a 51. That was a joke. But if you were to read those last few chapters of Genesis, what you'd find is that you'd get these things coming up time and time again. God is always talking about his people, and he's always talking about his place. What's the big thing that we're learning? The big thing at the top? God sends to save. And what we see is that Joseph is sent to save God's people for God's place. So I'm going to put a little for in between. God sends, do it with me, God sends to save his people for his place. So we're going to look at those two things in turn. Now, in the story of Joseph, there are two main places. There are two main places. Over here, we've got Canaan, okay? Canaan. And the other place, the main place in the story of Joseph, is a place called Egypt. So Egypt's going to be over here, where all the money is, which is appropriate. Now, Canaan and Egypt. And what we see in the story of Joseph is that Joseph is sent from Canaan to Egypt so that he might save lives. So, here's Joseph. Joseph starts off over here in Canaan. And you might remember that Joseph, he was really, really loved by his dad. In fact, he was the favorite, and his dad made this amazing coat for him to wear. So Joseph starts over here in Canaan, but his brothers, well, did his brothers love him or did his brothers hate him? Do you remember? They hated him. His brothers hated him because he was the favorite. I've left the prison over here. We'll come back to that. They hated him so much. In fact, they hated him so much they wanted to kill him. You have to hate someone pretty much to want to kill them. But that's what the brothers were like. And so one day, they plotted and they planned and they planned and they plotted. And they decided they were going to get rid of Joseph. And Joseph came. He came to see them one day. And they thought, here's our opportunity. Here's our chance to get rid of Joseph. And so what they did is they took off his coat. All right, they took off his coat. And so Joseph was now, he's upside down here. Here we go. Joseph was now attached to the prison. That will come, don't worry. It was a slick, that's what it is. So Joseph now didn't have a coat anymore. The prison's broken. He can get out of the prison. When I practiced this, it was really slick. Okay, here we go. Joseph now doesn't have a coat on, okay? He doesn't have a coat on because they took it off him. And what they decide to do is they decide to put him in a pit. So they put him down in a pit and they were going to leave him there to die. But when he doesn't die, they take him out of the pit. And the only reason they take him out of the pit was because they were going to send him somewhere. They sent him out of the pit to a place called Egypt. A place called Egypt where he was sold as a slave. We've heard this story over the coming weeks, and here's where we're going to need the prison. Because then, in Egypt, as he was there in Egypt, he got put in prison for something that he didn't do. Now, the prison wasn't broken. The bars weren't broken, and so he couldn't get out. There he was, stuck in prison, and it looked like everything had gone bad. It looked like God didn't have a plan, and that nothing was working for good. But God is always working for the good of his family. And even though Joseph was in prison, that wasn't the end of the story. God sent Joseph out of prison to a place where he was in a really powerful position. So now he's got a really nice robe on because Joseph was friends with the king of Egypt, who was called Pharaoh. In fact, Joseph was working with the king of Egypt, and he was in a position of great power. Let's get rid of the prison. So Joseph is over here in Egypt. God has sent Joseph from Canaan to Egypt, but his brothers are still over here, and his whole family is still over here, and his brothers are in a bit of danger because there's a famine. Do you remember what a famine is? Anyone tell me what a famine is? Yeah? Do you know what? That is a very accurate biological description of what a famine is. That was much better than my answer. But yes, a famine is a time where there's no food around, okay? So the brothers, when they looked in the fridge, there was no food. When they looked in their cupboards, there was no food. They went to Tesco, and there was no food on the shelves. And so they began to get a little bit hungry. Can you rub your tummies like this, as if you're really starving hungry? You don't have to pat your head at the same time, although if you can, that's impressive. Rub your tummies like this, because they were beginning to get really, really hungry. In fact, it's a really serious problem to have no food around. Who had breakfast today? Put your hand up if you had breakfast. That's good. Most people had breakfast. I had a lovely bowl of 3 Weetabix and a banana. That's what I had for breakfast. Did anyone not have breakfast this morning? Any of the grown-ups not have breakfast? Few people. Name and shame. Yeah, I won't shout out your name, Shahida. But even if you didn't have breakfast this morning, who has something to eat every day? Most people have something to eat every day, don't we? Okay. If we don't have something to eat, at the end of the day, how are we going to be feeling? We're going to be feeling very hungry. If we don't have any food for like lots and lots of days in a row, what's eventually going to happen? Angela? You're going to die. That's a really serious problem. There was no food around in Canaan, and the brothers were in a really serious situation. God had made this amazing promise to Jacob about his people. He said, there's going to be loads of you, but now they're all about to die because there's no food around. And so Jacob, he looks at his sons, and he says, you need to go to Egypt. In Egypt, there's loads of money and there's loads of food. You're going to be fine. You can go and get some food from Egypt. So that's what they do. The brothers, they pack their bags, and they make sure they've got their toothbrush in their bag, and they make sure they've got some money for the bread. And then they put their bags on their back, and off they go to Canaan. And they make the long journey to Canaan, and by the time they get there, guess who it is who's in charge of giving the food? It's Joseph, their brother. But like we said at the beginning, they didn't realize it was Joseph. They don't recognize him. Joseph knows who they are, but they don't realize it's him. But Joseph is so kind to them. Even though they tried to chuck him in a pit over here, even though they'd sold him as a slave into Egypt, Joseph is really, really kind to them, and he gives them some food. He gives them perhaps a loaf of bread, probably more than just a loaf of bread. He was quite kind. He gave them plenty of food, and so they put their food in their bag, and they said, thank you, you've saved our lives. And they go back to Canaan. And they make the journey back to Canaan. And when they're in Canaan, they open their bags and they get out their food. And they think, this is good. I'm not going to be hungry anymore. And so they began to eat their food. They began to rip a piece of bread off and eat it. This is drier than anticipated. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole loaf. But eventually, what happened with the food that they had in Canaan, eventually, they ran out. They ran out of food again, and they decided... Don't touch that. Eventually, they ran out of food again. And their tummies began to rumble again. So can you rub your tummies like this? Because the tummies were really, really empty. And they went back to the fridge and they had a look, but it had all run out. And they opened the cupboards, but the cupboards were bare. And they went down to Asda because there wasn't anything in Tesco, but there wasn't anything in Asda either. And they were in a really serious situation. They were going to die. God had made this promise to them that there was going to be loads of people, but now God's people were going to die. And so Jacob said to his sons, you need to go back to Egypt. You need to go and get some more food. And so they pack up their bags. They make sure they've got their toothbrush. They make sure they've got their deodorant because it was a really hot day. They make sure they've got money to pay for the bread. And they put the bag on their back and they make the long journey back to Egypt. And when they get to Egypt, guess who's in charge of giving them the food? It's Joseph still. But they still don't realize that this is their brother. Joseph knows it's them, but they don't realize it's Joseph. And guess what? Joseph is so kind to them. Even though they tried to put him in a pit, even though they wanted to kill him, even though they'd sold him as a slave into Egypt, Joseph says, it's okay, you need food, and I'm going to give you another loaf of bread. And so he gives them another loaf of bread, and they say, thank you, you've saved our lives. And they begin on their journey back home, but Joseph says, I can't keep it a secret any longer. He says, come back here, I've got something to tell you. And listen to what he says. He says, it's me, it's Joseph, I'm alive. I know I look different now, but it really is me, I'm alive. And the brothers, the Bible says the brothers are terrified. What does terrified mean? That means they're scared. They're really, really scared. Their teeth are chattering. Their knees are knocking together. They're really, really scared. Why do you think they're scared? Why would the brothers be scared of Joseph? Any ideas? Why do you think the brothers would be scared of Joseph? What have they done to him before, many years ago? What do they do over here? Anyone remember? Yeah? They tried to put him in a pit. And then they sold him as a slave, and they wanted him to be dead. And now he was there in a position of great power. He could do whatever he wanted to them, and the brothers are really, really scared. But listen to what Joseph says. And this is so important that I've put it up on the screen, okay? So keep your eyes on the screen. This is what Joseph says. He says, don't be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land. For the next 5 years, there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. Can you see what they were saying? Joseph was saying, don't worry, because God sent me to save you. So let's do that together. God sent me to save you. God had put Joseph in a position of power so that they could be saved. Isn't that amazing? God sends to save. Do that with me. God sends to save. And that's not the end of the story, because Joseph says, do you know what? You keep doing something really weird. You started off over here in Canaan, and you ran out of food, so you came over here to Egypt, and then you went back because you got your bread, and you ate your bread, and it was lovely, but then you ran out of bread, so you had to come back over here to Egypt, and now you're about to go back home. And so he says, can you stop going back and forth? Don't bother doing that. I've got an invitation for you. Why don't you come and live with me here in Egypt? There's a lovely place you can live. There's plenty of food. You won't die because you'll be safe. So that's what they did. The brothers go back to Canaan one more time because Jacob was still here, their dad. And they say, Joseph, he's alive. We've seen him. He's over there in Egypt. And his dad can't believe it. He thinks that's not true. That's too good to be true. But eventually he does believe it. And so off they go back to Egypt. And now they're in a place where they are safe. There's no more famine in Egypt. There's plenty of food to go around. They've been sent from one place to another so that their lives could be saved. God sends to save. That's the big thing. He sent Joseph to Egypt. He sent Joseph to be in a position of power. And then he sent the brothers to Egypt as well so that their lives could be saved. And do you know what happened in Egypt? The Bible tells us that the family got bigger and bigger and bigger. It tells us that more and more people were born. In chapter 47, verse 27, the Bible says they were fruitful and increased in number. God had promised Jacob that there was going to be a people with loads of people in it, and now that was happening because Joseph had saved their lives. And as we've learned together about the story of Joseph, what we've seen all the way through is that it tells us lots about the story of Jesus. It's not just the story of Joseph we're learning about. It's actually the story of Jesus. Listen to this verse from the New Testament. It's from 1 John chapter 4, and John says this. Are you listening? Wiggle your ears so I can see you're still listening. It says this. we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Can you do the actions with me? We have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. You see, if we were to flip these around, we'd see that Jesus wasn't sent from Canaan. He was sent from heaven. That's what that verse says. Jesus was sent from heaven, not to Egypt, but to the world. And just like Joseph, things didn't always look like they were going good. Just like Joseph, he was hated by those who should have loved him. People wanted to kill him. People sold him, just like Joseph. And eventually, Jesus was put on a cross to die. It looked like everything had gone bad. But God is always working for the good of his family. And the reason that Jesus had been sent from heaven to the world was to save lives. That's what Jesus did when he died on the cross. He was sent to save lives. You remember the brothers? They were really hungry, weren't they? The brothers were in a serious situation because if they didn't have bread, they would die. And the Bible says that's true for every one of us here this morning. If we don't have bread, we're going to die. But I'm not talking about this kind of bread. We've got plenty of this kind of bread in Tesco or at home in your bread bins. The bread that we need is Jesus himself. In the Bible, Jesus is described as the bread of life. The bread of life. You see, without Jesus, I'm going to die. The Bible says that I deserve to die because of my sin, because of the wrong things that I've done against God, because of my rebellion against him. I deserve to be punished by him forever. I'm going to die. But when Jesus died on the cross, he was taking that punishment instead of me. When Jesus died, it meant that I could have the life of knowing God. That's why Jesus is described as the bread of life. And if you're not yet a Christian, this is something that you need to do this morning. You need to trust this Jesus who was sent from heaven to the world to save lives. Jesus says, "The one who feeds on me will live. The one who trusts that I died and rose again in their place will live." And if you are a Christian, if you're one of God's people already, can I tell you something really exciting? Who wants to hear something really exciting? Who wants to hear something really exciting? What's the big thing that we're learning? God sends to save. And that's something that he's still doing today. If you're one of God's people, you're part of this amazing story that God sends to save. He sends us to people to tell them about Jesus so that they might be saved. So if you're really little, some of you at the front are really, really little. Some of you a little bit further back are quite little. If you're still in school, but you're trusting Jesus, then God has sent you to your friends at school to tell them about Jesus so that they might be saved. If you're really, really old, if you're really old and you know you're old, God has sent you to your neighbors or to the people that you bump into at the shops. He sent you there to tell them about Jesus so that they might be saved. If you're somewhere in between, it's true of you as well. Wherever God has put you, whether it be at work or at home, with the people that are around you, God sends you to tell them about Jesus so that they might be saved. It's an amazing thing. If you're one of God's people, you are sent to save. But the second thing is much shorter. But the second thing that I want us to learn, can we say this whole thing together so that it gets into our heads, okay? And do the actions as well for the top part. 1, 2, 3. God sends to save his people for his place. So the second thing that God promises is a place. And the story of Joseph tells us that this promise is something we can be completely sure about. When you're sure about something, it's like a solid foundation that you can build your life on. So can you do this? Every time I say the word sure, I want you to go like this. 1, 2, 3, sure. That's good. That's a good sound, actually. Let's do it one more time. 1, 2, 3, sure. Lovely. It's like that Iceland clap, isn't it? 1, 2, 3, sure. Okay, you're with me. This is a promise that we can be completely sure about. Kind of. See, as you read these last few chapters in Genesis, if you were to read chapter 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, there isn't a 51. If you were to read those last few chapters in Genesis, you'll see that they keep talking about a particular place. They keep going on about this place called Canaan. So let's turn this back around. And they keep talking about going back to a place called Canaan. So for example, let's turn this one around as well, actually. So this is Egypt, okay, and Joseph is still in Egypt. Joseph is still in control. He's with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he invites Jacob to come to him to stay there, to have some food there. So Jacob, he wants to go to Egypt, and he starts off on his journey. And as he's on his journey, something amazing happens. God speaks to him. And he says to Jacob, don't be afraid to go back to Egypt, because I will go with you, and I will surely bring you back to Canaan. One day I'm going to take you back to Canaan. So Jacob, he goes off to Egypt, and he lives his life there. And then Jacob gets really, really, really old. He gets so old that he knows he's about to die. And when he's about to die, he says something that's really strange. He says to Joseph, he says, look, I'm about to die, but when I die, don't bury me in Egypt. I don't want to stay in Egypt. When I die, you need to take me all the way back to Canaan. Okay? And then it's so important to Jacob that he says it again. A little bit later, he said something else in between. And then a little bit later, he says to Joseph, seriously, when I die, don't bury me in Egypt. He says, back in Canaan, I've got this field. I've got a field that belongs to me. And in the field, there's this cave, and you must bury me in Canaan. I don't want to be buried in Egypt. I must be buried in Canaan. It's a bit weird. There's obviously something quite special about this place called Canaan. And so Jacob dies, and that's exactly what they do. Joseph and the brothers, they take Jacob and his body up from Egypt all the way to Canaan. And in Canaan, they have the funeral, they're really sad, and they bury Jacob in Canaan. And then Joseph goes back. He's still in charge over here in Egypt. And he goes back to Egypt, and he lives his life, and he gets really, really old. Did anyone notice how old Joseph was when we read it earlier? Yeah. 110 years old. That is really old. And when he's really old, maybe he's got like hair growing out of his nose and his ears because he's that old. And he's really, really old. He knows that he's about to die. And he says something strange to his brothers as well. He says, listen, when I die, okay, and when my bones have been buried, don't leave them here in Egypt. I want to go back to Canaan. Even after I'm dead, I want to go back to this place called Canaan. Now, here's a question. What's so special about Canaan? Why are they so obsessed with Canaan? Why do they keep banging on about this place called Canaan? Why does it matter where you're buried? And here's the answer. Are you listening for the answer? Canaan was a really special place because it was God's place. It was the place that God had promised to Jacob. He said, I'm going to give you a big family, and I'm going to give you a big home. And the home that God had promised was this place called Canaan. It was God's place. It was the best place in the whole wide world. It was a place where they would have everything that they needed. It was a place where there would be no enemies. It was a place where God was going to come and live with them. It was the best place in the world. And Joseph and Jacob, they knew that Canaan was God's place. They knew that Canaan was the promised land, the land that God had promised. And they knew that Canaan was the only place that God had promised. Egypt was not the place that God had promised. Egypt was not God's place. In fact, very soon, the people in Egypt would end up being slaves, and they would need to be saved again. They needed to remember that God had promised that one day he would take them to be with him in his place. And that's something they needed to trust in. That's something they needed to believe. Now, why do you think they needed to believe that? Where were God's people right now? Who can tell me where God's people were? Let's have a show of hands. Who thinks God's people right now are in Canaan? Who thinks God's people right now are in Egypt? Yeah, God's people right now are in Egypt. They are not in the place that God had promised. They are not yet where God said they would be. And so they needed to be sure. They needed to be sure that God's promise really was true. So Joseph, at the end of his life, he said something really important. Are you listening? And you're going to need to get your hands out again. Joseph said at the end of his life, God will surely bring you up out of this place. And it was so important that he said it again. He said, God will surely come and help you. You can be sure that God was going to come and take his people to be with him in the place that he had promised. We can be sure because God is always working for the good of his people. And do you know what? You've done very well. It's getting very warm. But can you just focus for three more minutes? Focus for 3 more minutes. Give me your eyes this way. I can see lots of whites of eyes. That's good. Because this is something really important for us to remember as Christians. If we're one of God's people, then God has given us a promise. It's a promise about a place. Because Jesus died and rose again, if we trust in him, God has promised a place for every one of his people. It's a place which is a promised land. It's not called Canaan, it's called heaven. And this place is the best place in the world. It's a place where everything we need is there. It's a place where there's going to be no more enemies, no more sin. It's a place where God comes to live with his people. It's going to be amazing. And we need to remember this promise because right now, where are we? We're over here. We're not in Egypt, but we're in the world. And Joseph isn't here anymore, but we are. And as God's people, we live at a time where we're not yet in the place that God has promised. There is a promised land, but we're not yet there. We're still in the world, and sometimes we forget this amazing promise that God will come to take us to be with him. But we can be sure. And the reason we can be sure is because God is always working for the good of his family. He's shown that throughout the life of Joseph. We see that in the story of Jesus. Even when things seem like they're bad, God is working for good. We can be sure that God is working for the good of his family. And one day we will be taken to be with him where he has promised. So, we started with Fireman Sam. Fireman Sam is sent. Let's do the actions one more time. He is sent to save. And what the story of Joseph shows us is that God sends to save. We can be sure about that because God is always working for the good of his family. If you're not a Christian, you need to trust Jesus, the one who was sent from heaven to the world to die so that our lives might be saved. And if you are one of God's people already, then the amazing promise that you can be sure about is that one day he will take you to be with him. You see, sometimes I think we get scared about the future. Sometimes we're not sure what to expect. Sometimes when we think about dying, that can be a really scary thing. But if you're one of God's people, you can be sure that he is going to send you to be with him in heaven. He's going to take you to be in the place that he has promised. One more time, let's say the whole thing together. God sends to save his people for his place. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that the Lord Jesus was sent from heaven to earth, to the world, to save your people. Help us all to trust Jesus, who died in the place of all who trust in him, so that their lives might be saved. And Father, help us as God's people to be sure about the promise that you have made, that one day you will take us to be in your place, where we will live with you forever. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.